Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we? Well, last week, I received an email from someone whom I do not know, who felt it necessary to inform me that she couldn't and wouldn't do business with me because I don't have enough Twitter followers. You heard me correctly. As I read through her words for the first time, my first response was shock. Was she serious? Then I felt angry at the stupidity of this person who would not only be so foolish as to think something like this, but worse, to actually take the time to put her silliness into words and then hit the send button. Well, as I pondered this for the next few hours, my final reaction was sadness. Sadness. Because this person had succumbed to the sickness that is foisted upon us by big money, big technology, big who knows who. The sickness jammed down everyone's throats, beginning in childhood anymore. The sickness that insists that people judge their worth by what strangers think of their posts and their tweets. Ooh, I got 15 likes on the picture of my turkey sandwich that I posted at lunch today. Or worse, the harsh responses and opinions on everything from Melania Trump's accent to kids criticizing other kids about their weight or their looks. The lack of empathy and kindness I've seen on Twitter and Facebook make me cringe with fear, wondering how the recipients of this cruelty can actually carry on. I mean, when is it just one nasty tweet too many that sends a young person to drugs, drinking, depression, anxiety, and yes, even suicide? So it's with this email in mind that I share an interesting article I just read, titled, Early Facebook and Google Employees Form a Coalition to Fight What They Built. This is by Nellie Bowles of the New York Times, February of 2018. The article says a group of Silicon Valley technologists who were early employees at Facebook and Google, who are alarmed over the ill effects of social networks and smartphones, are banding together to challenge the companies they helped build. They are creating a union of concerned experts called the Center for Humane Technology. Along with a nonprofit media watchdog group called Common Sense Media, they also plan an anti-tech addiction lobbying effort and an ad campaign at 55,000 public schools in the United States. The campaign is titled The Truth About Tech, and it will be funded with $7 million from Common Sense and capital raised by the Center for Humane Technology. Now, Common Sense Media also has $50 million in donated media and airtime from partners including Comcast and DirecTV. It will be aimed at educating students, parents, and teachers about the dangers of technology, including the depression that can come from heavy use of social media. We are on the inside, said Tristan Harris, a former in-house ethicist. I didn't know there was such a thing as an ethicist at Google who is heading the new group. We know what the companies measure. We know how they talk, and we know how the engineering works. The effect of technology, especially on younger minds, has become hotly debated in recent months. In January, two big Wall Street investors asked Apple to study the health effects of its products and to make it easier to limit children's use of iPhones and iPads. Maybe that's where parents might come in. Pediatric and mental health experts called on Facebook last week to abandon a messaging service the company had introduced for children as young as six. Parenting groups have also sounded the alarm about YouTube Kids, a product aimed at children that sometimes features disturbing content. The largest supercomputers in the world are inside of two companies, Google and Facebook. And where are we pointing them, Mr. Harris asks? We are pointing them at people's brains, at children. Silicon Valley executives for years positioned their companies as tight-knit families, and they rarely spoke publicly against one another. However, this has changed. A venture capitalist who was an early employee at Facebook said that the social network was ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. Get that. Ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. Interesting. The new Center for Humane Technology includes an unprecedented alliance of former employees of some of today's biggest tech companies. Apart from Mr. Harris, who I mentioned, the center includes Sandy Parakilis, a former Facebook operations manager, Lynn Fox, a former Apple and Google communications executive, Dave Morin, a former Facebook executive, Justin Rosenstein, who created Facebook's Like button, Roger McNamee, an early investor in Facebook, and Rene DiResta, a technologist who studies bots. And the group is expecting that its numbers will grow. Its first project to reform the industry will be to introduce what's called a Ledger of Harms, a website aimed at guiding rank-and-file engineers who are concerned about what they are being asked to build. The site will include data on the health effects of different technologies and way to make their products healthier. Jim Steyer, the chief executive and founder of Common Sense, said the Truth About Tech campaign was modeled on anti-smoking drives and focused on children because of their vulnerability. This may sway tech chief executives to change, he said. Already, Apple's chief executive told The Guardian last month that he would not let his nephew on social media, while the Facebook investor, Sean Parker, also recently said of the social network that, quote, God only knows what it's doing to our children's brains, unquote. So you see a degree of hypocrisy with all these guys in Silicon Valley. The new group also plans to begin lobbying for laws to curtail the power of big tech companies. It will initially focus on two pieces of legislation, a bill being introduced that would commission research on technology's impact on children's health, and a bill which would prohibit the use of digital bots without identification. Mr. McNamee said he had joined the Center for Humane Technology because he was horrified by what he had helped enable as an early Facebook investor. He said, Facebook appeals to your lizard brain, primarily fear and anger. And with smartphones, they've got you for every waking moment. He said, the people who make these products could stop them before they did more harm. This is an opportunity for me to correct a wrong. Now, interestingly, what they are not talking about yet, and I say yet with fingers crossed, are the very real life, death, and health effects that this technology is having on our society. And I'm sure you've heard of the recent suicides of two high-profile people this past month, Kate Spade, the famous handbag and fashion icon, and Anthony Bourdain, food traveler who had quite the successful book and television series. Both had suffered from depression. Now, nearly 45,000 suicides occurred in the United States in 2016. That's more than twice the number of homicides, making suicide the 10th leading cause of death. Among people ages 15 to 34, suicide is the second leading cause of death. Blame the recession. Blame opioid use. Blame the undiagnosis of mental health issues. And take a look at what has changed so dramatically within society and environment and technology comes to mind, and especially the man-made radiation that is given off by this wireless technology. Yet they are not talking about this yet. However, here is an interesting article that recently hit the news. It's titled, Depression. Could cell phone and Wi-Fi radiation disrupting the blood-brain barrier be playing a role? It's from June 9th, 2018 by B.N. Frank on the Activist website. He says, many factors play a role in depression, suicidal thoughts, and other mental health issues. Exposure to environmental toxins is one of them. According to decades-old research, cell phone radiation exposure affects our brains. In 2011, the National Institutes of Health acknowledged that cell phone radiation affects the brain as well. 2012 research confirmed that exposure to all sources of cell phone and Wi-Fi radiation disrupts the blood-brain barrier, which can cause it to leak. That's right, we have a barrier that protects our brain, a thin sheath, and the use of a cell phone, just a few moments of that, creates tiny little holes and openings in that blood-brain barrier that now allows the toxins in our environment to leak into the brain. Now, this may not cause depression and or suicidal thoughts in everyone, but still, all this research confirms that exposure is not completely harmless like what we have been led to believe. According to a recent article by Time.com, federal data shows that suicide rates have increased steadily across nearly every demographic over the past two decades, rising from 30% from 1999 to 2016. Over the past two decades, there has been an increase in individual use as well as exposure to multiple sources of cell phone and Wi-Fi radiation and electronic pollution, electrosmog, across nearly every demographic as well. All you have to do is walk out your door and everybody is studying their phones. Research continues to link exposure to mental health issues and more. And in regard to children, almost twice as many children were hospitalized for thinking about or attempting suicide in 2018 compared to 2008, according to a study published in May in the journal Pediatrics. Screen time used by kids continues to be addressed as a source of mental health issues. However, it's usually addressed separately from exposure to radiation and electrosmog. Even though children attending most public schools are forced to use these devices for schoolwork, no safe level of cell phone or Wi-Fi radiation exposure has been scientifically determined for children or pregnant women. In 2011, Dr. Keith Black of Cedars-Sinai Medical Center stated that exposure could have a larger impact on children. Why? Because children's skulls and scalps are thinner, so the radiation can penetrate deeper into the brain of children and young adults. Their cells are dividing at a faster rate, so the impact of radiation can be much larger. There has been more media coverage of the health risks and concerns, especially in regard to children. And hopefully more schools begin to replace Wi-Fi with wired internet. Many U.S. broadcast stations are airing segments about this as well. The telecom industry is being referred to as big wireless and being compared to big tobacco. Now, we can't hold children responsible for wanting these devices when they are being marketed to them and everyone else. Even Sesame Street features a character named Smarty the Smartphone. How sad is that? Now, we are all affected differently by exposure to cell phone and Wi-Fi radiation and electrical pollution. But pets, nature, and wildlife are affected too. And I have waxed eloquent on this program on the negative health ramifications of wireless technology for several years now. I always say, put down the phone, cancel your Facebook and Twitter accounts, take a walk outside, have an eyeball-to-eyeball conversation with a real person. I mean, it's time that we get real again. And we need to pay attention, not to what is told to us by big business, big government, and all the rest of the biggies, but rather to what is not told to us, because there is more to be learned from what is not revealed than the candy-coated sugar wash of what we are led to believe. So back to the stranger who told me she wouldn't do business with me because I didn't have enough Twitter followers. Well, I say, I feel sad for you that you've been sucked into this artificial la-la land of pretend relationships. I say that fortunately your bizarre words didn't trigger a negative response in me that might cause me to spiral into a depressive state that could possibly end in suicide. Oh, does that sound dramatic? I don't think so. We have no idea what impact our words or actions have on another. So why behave with unkindness and unnecessary meanness when that behavior just might end someone's life? Social media is full of nasty bullies, and who knows when or if just one more hurtful tweet or post might be the final nail in someone's coffin, so to speak. It's not too late to get our lives back. All we have to do is think independently, rise up, and say no to being a zombie slave to technology. Now, excuse me. I have to get back to my Twitter account and find some random people to click my follow button.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
Hi there, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, the host of Mrs. Green's World, and I would really love for you to become a part of that world. We talk about things like the faceless villain of climate change, our compromised food supply, and about how to become a conscious consumer. But it's not all bad news. We educate, we inspire, we engage. We always leave you with some small steps you can take to make a difference for this great planet of ours and help you live the healthy life you deserve. Please visit MrsGreensWorld.com to learn more and become a part of our world.
Hot, 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 hot. Bring the heat.
And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Well, back to social media, since I'm on the topic today. You know, the rise of social media has meant that we, as a global population, are more connected than we have ever been in the history of time. However, our reliance on social media can have detrimental effect on our mental health, which the average people checking their phone as much as 28 times a day. Actually, I believe it's a whole lot more than that. While social media platforms can have their benefits, using them too frequently can make you feel increasingly unhappy and isolated in the long run. The constant barrage of perfectly filtered photos that appear on Instagram are bound to knock many people's self-esteem, while obsessively checking your Twitter feed just before bed could be contributing towards poor quality of sleep. So according to The Independent by Sabrina Barr, here are six ways that social media could be negatively affecting your mental health without you even realizing it. Number one is self-esteem. Now, we all have our fair share of insecurities, some that we speak about openly and others that we prefer to keep to ourselves. However, comparing yourself to others on social media by stalking their aesthetically perfect Instagram photos or staying up to date with their relationship status on Facebook could do little to assuage your feelings of self-doubt. A study conducted by the University of Copenhagen found that many people suffer from Facebook envy. When we derive a sense of worth based on how we are doing relative to others, we place our happiness in a variable that is completely beyond our control. Becoming more conscious of the amount of time you spend scrolling through other people's online profiles could help you focus more on yourself and boost your self-confidence. Next, there's the human connection. As human beings, it's so important for us to be able to communicate and forge personal connections with one another. However, it can be hard to do so when we are glued to a rectangular screen, becoming more acquainted with our friends' digital facades than their real-life personas. Stina Sanders, a former model who has 107,000 followers on Instagram, explained how social media sometimes makes her feel like she's being left out. She says, "I know from my experience I can get feeling of missing out when I see my friends' photos of a party I didn't go to, and this in turn can make me feel quite lonely and anxious." A study published in the American Journal of Epidemiology that assessed 5,208 subjects found that overall regular use of Facebook had a negative impact on an individual's well-being. Well, next we have memory. Social media can be great for looking back fondly on memories and recounting how past events occurred. However, it can also distort the way in which you remember certain tidbits from your life. Many of us are guilty of spending far too much time trying to take the perfect photo of a visual marvel, all the while not actually absorbing the firsthand experiencing of witnessing it with your own two eyes. If we direct all of our attention toward capturing the best shots for our social media follows to admire, less will be available to enjoy other aspects of the experience in real time. Spending too much time on our phones detracts from those other aspects of the experience, undermining the happiness we could be gleaning from them. That's so true how I see people so busy taking pictures and posting on their social media rather than just being in the moment and enjoying what it is they're doing. Next is sleep. I talk about this often on the program. Having enough sleep and quality of sleep is very important. However, many of us use our phones too soon before choosing to hit the hay, making it harder to doze off. Getting worked up with anxiety or envy from what we see on social media keeps the brain on high alert and prevents us from falling asleep. Plus, the light from our mobile device, that blue light just inches from our face, can suppress the release of melatonin, a hormone that can help us feel less tired. So try setting yourself a strict rule of not going on your phone for at least 45 minutes to an hour before going to bed and see if that makes a difference to the quality of your sleep. What about attention span? It's not just your subconscious brain that you need to worry about, but also the extent to which your brain is able to fully concentrate when you're awake. While it's incredible to consider the amount of information readily available at our fingertips thanks to social media, it also means that people have become far more easily distracted. Social media has provided a means of constantly giving into the temptation of instant, easy access entertainment. If you cannot go a moment without checking your phone for at least a few minutes, then you would do well to practice exercising your willpower on occasion. Then there's mental health. We talked about this earlier. Not only has social media been proven to cause unhappiness, but it can also lead to the development of mental health issues such as anxiety or depression when used too much or without caution. In March, it was reported that more than a third of Generation Z from a survey of 1,000 individuals stated that they were willing to quit social media for good, as 41% stated that social media platforms make them feel anxious, sad, or depressed. Ben Jacobs, a DJ who has more than 5,000 followers on Twitter, decided to go on a hiatus from the platform in January of 2016 and found that the break was really beneficial. He said, "Twitter did indeed make me feel anxious from time to time as it slowly dawned on me that I was concerning myself with the feelings of thousands of strangers I followed while they did not necessarily know who I was. Since my Twitter break, I have had a clearer head with plenty of time to devote to other things, such as reading a book." Now, while you don't necessarily have to quit social media for good, if you feel like it's beginning to bog you down, why not consider allocating social media free time slots during your daily routine? That slight change could do you a whole lot of good. And if you have friends or family who seem to be stuck on the social media hamster wheel, share today's program with them. Just send them over to speakupandstayalive.com and listen to today's show. It might just be that little bit of help they need. Well, there you have it. Lots to think about and plenty to speak up about. I hope that as you listen to this program each week, you make a conscious decision to speak up about those things that may seem small, may not affect you right now, but somewhere in your heart and in your mind, you sense are not right. We can make changes, but not through silence. So join me and be a voice of reason. It's only been within the past 10 years that I decided to remain silent no longer. It started when my mom was in the hospital back in 2008 for shoulder surgery and was then having a heart attack in the recovery room that went undiagnosed for 9 hours. It was then I realized that I had to make a move, and I became a patient advocate. I wrote the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide, and share what I now know at live speaking events. You don't have to wait for something bad to happen to begin advocating for change. It's never too soon or too late for that matter, to speak up about things that speak to you. And as I mentioned my book and speaking events, let me remind you to get a copy of the book for yourself or as a gift for someone who may be in the hospital or a rehab facility or nursing home. What you don't know about our healthcare system can kill you, and I don't say that lightly. Visit the website speakupandstayalive.com to get your copy. It's only $20 and could very well be the best insurance you've ever owned. And while you're there, visit my speaking events link and then invite me to speak to your group, your club, business, association, church, or hospital. I can guarantee this. Your crowd will love it. Visit speakupandstayalive.com or call me to order the book and talk about making your next event a life-saving one. 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462. All right, we are out of time, but never out of topics. So be sure to come back next week. Same time, same place, but never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice. Are you in the market to purchase a home? Are you thinking of selling yours? Well, I've personally worked with the McCaskey team. They're conveniently located on Chardon Square. Give them a call, 440-773-5542. 440-773-5542. Ask for my friends Dan or Terry, or visit their website, McCaskeyTeam.com. That's McCaskeyTeam.com. McCaskeyTeam.com.